We know that Jesus was love incarnate, and yet the people in the synagogue tried to kill him. What is amiss here? Jesus was warmly received until he challenged their complacent self-regard. He challenged them in love so that they could grow. He presents all of us this challenge to grow. He gives us our human lives as the locus for learning to challenge in love and to be challenged in love, and so to grow in maturity. The deciding factor, though, is whether the challenges we offer others are offered in love, and whether the challenges we receive from others are offered in love. And in both cases, whether the challenges are offered in a language that we, the hearer, can receive. We all know cases of challenges that were not received by another or by us, because there was no love in the challenge, because the words could convey the opposite of love, and because the challenge itself was misdirected. Oddly enough, challenging others and being challenged in return, whether challenged well or challenged poorly, can provoke growth in us, because the challenges force us to answer questions like, does this particular challenge disturb me? In what way? Why? How can I resolve the disturbance within myself and so grow in maturity? Can I safely ignore this challenge because it does not, in fact, have anything to do with me?
I'm just going to turn this
The key up. To understanding these questions and growing in maturity in what St. Paul calls a still more excellent way, the key is love. Today's second reading clearly states the ideal. Love is patient, love is kind, and so on. So I have to ask myself, is this kind of love achievable by real people in real time, facing real life? My answer is yes, it is achievable, if we follow the formula that we find in the letter to the Ephesians. We must learn to speak the truth with love, praying always for God's help to know what is true and to speak in love. What enabled Jesus to speak the truth with love was his experiencing the love of the Father. At his baptism, the Father called him my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In his childhood, he learned that he was loved through the care of his mother Mary and his father Joseph. And by absorbing Jewish scripture like that in our first reading today, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. And Jesus certainly knew Psalm 139. It was you, O Lord, who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We all need this human and divine affirmation of our worth and value in who we are. We also need divine assurance that our lives have meaning and value. We also need divine assurance that our mission, our vocation in life, indistinct as it may seem at times, nonetheless gives us a unique role in helping to build God's kingdom on earth. And we need relief from the dark emotions of present and past trauma that erode our present-day joy and damage our relationships. Participating in the Eucharist offers us this divine assurance and relief. We assert in faith that Jesus need only say the word and our souls will be healed. Healed of what? Healed of fear, anxiety, and all the dark emotions. And the rich silence following communion fills us with God's loving affirmation that heals. In our second reading, St. Paul offers us not so much a challenge as a diagnostic. He says, love is not irritable. Do you find your love tainted with irritation? Ask God to soothe that irritation. Love is not inflated or rude. Do you find yourself tempted to feel inflated or to be rude? Ask God to help you calm down. And so on, through Paul's excellent list. Then we need to pray to be able to speak the truth with love. We need to be able to refrain from angry words, to express angry emotions, while still finding apt words to express feelings honestly. We need to find compassion, if even slight, for the person we are speaking with. And we need to avoid the inflammatory language so common in our culture. Some people might say that I am advocating what is now pejoratively called political correctness. My response is that no, I am advocating what Jesus and St. Paul advocate, that love, respect, honesty, honoring, and so on predominate in our interactions in appropriate balance with what we believe and say is true. If anyone disapproves of political correctness as a general principle in this Catholic context, my challenge would be to ask what the alternative is. Does rejecting political correctness permit us to use disparaging language to and about women, ethnic and sexual minorities, the poor, and the rest of suffering humanity? Does rejecting political correctness allow us to establish one group as the preeminent privileged social class and to treat all others as secondary and unwelcome? Does rejecting political correctness allow us to treat foreign nations dismissively, as though they were unimportant or freeloaders on our national generosity? My task here is not to analyze political correctness. My task is to ask how St. Paul's treatise on love and Jesus' behavior in the synagogue can be models for us in our relationships to ourselves, to others, and to God. Here's an instance of modeling. A friend of mine recently saw his daughter and stepson off on a car trip to Los Angeles. She has an internship there, and he went to help her move. As they were leaving, my friend urged the two, who are 8 years apart in age, to spend some of the many hours in the car talking about the reality of their lives, their own self-understanding, their reflections on their parents and step-parents, the joys and difficulties of their childhood and present-day lives, and so on. My friend was challenging them to grow in self-knowledge, to gain respect for one another in their similarities and differences, and most importantly, to gain the courage to speak about all topics, no matter how sensitive or potentially upsetting with one another. He also asked them to write a paragraph after they had arrived in Los Angeles about what they had learned on their trip, and to send him the paragraphs. This is good Ignatian formation, and it's good parenting. He challenged them in love with words that could be heard and received. The next part, of course, is up to them. We can trust that God in God's love will share that love and wisdom with them and with you and me today in this Eucharist, and that they will grow as you and I are invited to grow today and in all the days that come.